Let's talk about why a no-fly zone for Ukraine seems to be off the table and what the West is doing instead. Ukraine's president and the Ukrainian people are clear. They want a no-fly zone to save lives.
Ми повторюємо кожного дня закрити небо над Україною.
We really want that NATO close sky on Ukraine because Russia killed our children, our parents.
Ask your government for no-fly zone above Ukraine. We need this.
Ukraine wants it in order to level the odds. They are fighting very well on the ground. They are outmatched in the air, and they're suffering from Russian air attacks.
But a no-fly zone comes with huge risks.
We'll end up with something that could end in a full-fledged war in Europe.
So what exactly is a no-fly zone? Is it totally off the table? And what is the West doing instead? A no-fly zone is essentially what it sounds like. A designated airspace where planes, helicopters, or drones are prevented from flying. But you don't just declare a no-fly zone. You also have to enforce it.
The only way that you can do that is to offer a credible threat that you are going to deter by force.
In other words, you've got to be willing to shoot down any aircraft that violates that zone. It's been done before. For example, in the 90s, the US and UK enforced a no-fly zone over parts of Iraq. And in Bosnia, NATO imposed one against the Serbian Air Force.
Yeah, in both those cases, you had a very weak air force and air defense system opposing you. That does not apply with the Russian air defense system, which is probably, after the United States and NATO's, by far the most formidable in the world.
So when it comes to Ukraine, a no-fly zone would be on a whole other level. It would almost certainly mean NATO and Russian forces shooting at each other. And if NATO countries did go ahead with a no-fly zone, we know how President Putin would interpret that.
Ми в цю секунду будемо розглядати їх як учасників воєнного конфлікту.
And if you end up with Russia and NATO in direct conflict, there's no telling where it could end up.
A no-fly zone has the potential to ultimately start a chain of events that ends with an exchange of nuclear weapons between the world's two nuclear superpowers, Russia and the United States.
Okay. Now let's take a look at how this war has played out in the skies so far. There have been many devastating Russian airstrikes. They've hit Ukrainian military facilities, a TV tower, government buildings, and civilian targets. Even so, Russia's use of airstrikes and its dominance in the air specifically haven't been as strong as most analysts expected.
Most of the damage to civilians and most of the murderous carnage that we've seen is dished out not by air force or by air power, but by artillery.
A lot of people expected at the start of the conflict that air power would be one of the decisive differences. In fact, what we've seen is a much less significant Russian dominance of the airspace over Ukraine than I think most people expected.
Now, there are a number of possible explanations for that, from bad planning by the Russians, or their air force perhaps not actually being as capable as many expected, to the surprising strength of the Ukrainian forces, who've been using what equipment they do have pretty effectively. Things like Stinger missiles, drones, and other air defense weapons. Having said that, Russia's air force is still much stronger than Ukraine's, and it has plenty more hardware it can bring to the fight.
It's extremely surprising that they have not begun to use the preponderance of force of 300 fast jets and bombers, and also the hundreds of attack helicopters they've got.
And for as long as there are Russian planes, Russian helicopters in Ukrainian airspace, they are going to be attacking Ukrainian infrastructure, attacking Ukrainian forces, and killing Ukrainian civilians.
Which is why the Ukrainians are so desperate for a no-fly zone. Not just because of what the Russian Air Force has already done, but because of what it could still do.
A no-fly zone would essentially take control of the air, the ability for the Russians to dictate what happens above people's heads, out of Russian hands, and put it into NATO's.
Perhaps there's a second reason, which is not really to do with the effects on the ground, but a kind of show of solidarity by NATO, showing that NATO stands with Ukraine, even to the point where they are willing to fight Russia.
But for now, NATO is absolutely not willing to fight Russia. It's ruled out a no-fly zone, and instead it's finding other ways to support Ukraine.
Like keeping up the supply of weapons to Ukrainian forces. There's even been talk of Poland sending some of its MiG-29 fighter jets, which Ukrainian pilots already know how to fly. But Poland is a NATO member, and the US says delivering those jets to Ukraine would create too big a risk of a direct conflict with Russia. And then there's the non-military stuff, like the punishing sanctions that are cutting off Russia's economy and sending its currency into freefall. And now they're targeting Russia's energy sector, which is one of the government's biggest earners. The US has announced an immediate ban on Russian oil imports.
That means Russian oil will no longer be acceptable at US ports, and the American people will deal another powerful blow to Putin's war machine.
But only a tiny amount of Russian oil actually goes to the US, so in the short term, it probably won't make a huge difference. The UK says it will phase out Russian oil imports by the end of the year. And the EU, which gets about 40% of its gas from Russia, plans to cut that by two-thirds within the same time frame.
It's hard, bloody hard, but it's possible.
We may well see a further escalation of military assistance, perhaps a further escalation of sanctions, but whatever happens in the coming weeks and months, I would be very surprised if there were a no-fly zone.
It goes back to the risks that a no-fly zone brings. Because however you look at it, it would be a huge escalation in the war. But if President Putin and his military continue to escalate things on their side, and at such a high cost to Ukrainian people, well, the West may end up having to adjust their thinking.
I think the political pressures to impose a no-fly zone will become extremely strong over the next 3 or 4 weeks. If things go as they are now, we're about one-third up that escalation ladder, I think. And once we start pushing up that ladder, I think we will see escalating responses from Russia. And that's where things start to get a bit disturbing.
Check out our recent episode on the West sanctions on Russia over Ukraine. And make sure to subscribe to Al Jazeera's YouTube channel so you don't miss our upcoming episodes. See you next week.